I don't know what's real. I don't know what's not real.
Limited Capacity is a collection of six darkly amusing stories about the mysterious ways we interact with the internet and with each other.
There's something going on with him. It's like an act. I don't trust him.
What?
You're staring at me like I should say something, but I don't really know what to do here.
That's the whole name of the game. Don't talk about how the town isn't real. Do you understand?
Limited Capacity. Available now on CBC Listen or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is a CBC podcast.
That sounds great.
Yo. You want to record something?
Yeah, I got things to say.
Do you have a disease?
Oh, yeah, I do.
Sometimes I do feel like sometimes we will get someone in who I feel like hasn't really listened to the show, and I'm always kind of like, oh, I hope they
know what
I hope they know what they're getting into here. So it's nice to know that you've listened. Tracy, you're from Langley.
Well, I live in Langley. I'm from Manitoba. I would like to.
Oh, okay.
That's
all right. A proud Manitoban.
Proud Manitoban.
Is that what it is? Manitoban?
Sure.
Manitobanot?
No.
I mean, maybe if...
Manitobanitan?
I think Manitoban.
I think Manitobanitan is the...
Manitobanitan.
It might be a Manitobanot if you get an astronaut
from Manitoba.
You know what? I have to say that I think Halifax's name for the people from there is pretty cool.
Haligonian. Sure, yeah. It is kind of silly. And I was in Arkansas recently, and I said, when I was on the stage, it was like, so nice to be staying in front of a group of Arkansonians. Had no idea what the actual thing was, and they all started laughing, and I started laughing. I was like, I don't know what to fucking call you guys. But I guess it's Arkansans? No.
Sounds like Parkinson's.
It's like you guys, all y'all are sick.
It does sound like a disease. I got a bad case of Parkinson's.
So with Haligonians, like, where the fuck does the G come from?
That's why I think it's so great, because it's like
it is
kind
random.
Of confusing.
It's like really we're only using.
It should be Halifaxonites, I think, is what that should be. Halifaxonites?
Halifax is a strange word to begin with when you think about it. I mean, we're used to it because we're from there, but it's a stupid word.
It should be Halifaxers.
Dude, I'm from Lower Sackville.
Yeah, that's the dumbest thing I've ever heard in my life.
You know what?
As dumb as it comes.
I never thought that was funny until I
Lower
told
Sackville?
Somebody that once, and they were like, Lower Sackville?
Yeah.
And I was like, what? I don't get it. And they're like, really?
Balls.
Balls, yeah. Dude. Yeah, balls. You're
like balls.
Satcheltown.
Satcheltown. I never thought about it until then either.
Wait, until this moment?
No. Until you said that whatever time that was, like a year ago.
Wow, that's so funny.
Because when you grow up with it, when you know the name of it before you know why that name would be funny, you don't make the connection.
Sackville and Beaver Bank right next to each other. That is.
Yeah.
I've never thought about that either.
I've never thought of Beaver Bank like that until now.
Tracy, have you ever heard of a town? There's a town in Austria called Fuck. There's a place in Austria called Fuck.
Wow.
There's a place in our country called Dildo.
There is. Yeah. Yeah. There's a whole bunch. Actually, Pornhub. We talked about this on my other podcast. Pornhub. If you live in a town that has a filthy name, Fuck, or Dildo, or there's one called like Balls Creek somewhere.
Orgyville.
No, that's not a thing.
Orgyville.
But if you live in a town like that, Pornhub would give you free Pornhub, premium, like they're like the paid Pornhub.
Why?
It was like a marketing thing where they were like, oh, you live in a dirty sounding town. We're going to hook you up with free Pornhub premium.
For life?
Yeah. As long as you live in the city.
Well.
Isn't that so funny?
Pack your bags, everybody. We're moving to Dildo Newfoundland.
Yeah.
I don't think that's what we're talking about on today's episode, though, is it?
We are definitely not talking about Fuck or Dildo or
Orgyville.
Beaver Bank or Lower Sackville.
I literally have no idea what we're talking about today.
This is my favorite
thing.
So when we do these trips, Tracy... usually one of us, either Brian or myself, will like do most of the planning for the trip and book all the guests. And it's my favorite.
I don't do anything.
Oh, that, okay.
I'm uninvolved with the whole process.
Taylor gets coffee.
Just here.
Yeah.
Yeah. I just get coffee.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. And when we do this, we generally don't tell the other
people,
crew, what's going on, who we're talking to. So these guys have no idea. I have a slight idea. And your story, the first paragraph of your application made me squirm.
Oh, that's so exciting.
Yeah. Yeah, fuck yeah. So why don't we just like start right there.
Okay.
About the moment you, in quotations, waddled to the ER.
Oh, shit.
Let's start with this.
Okay, so it'd be probably about 5 years ago, and it was just after I had gotten married. And I just started gaining weight, and I kept on getting bigger and bigger, and I was like, well, this is married life, I'm assuming, like,
this is married
you
life.
Just gain weight because this whatever.
You're married.
Yeah, that's what you do.
You gain weight in two times in your life. You're a freshman 15,
yeah,
and once you let yourself go when you decide you're going to spend your life with someone for the rest of your life.
It's like, who cares?
Yeah.
But then I kept on getting bigger and bigger, and then I was like, this can't be right. And then I was always really tired, and I was like, oh, man, like, I'm so tired. And I would go to doctors and they'd be like, oh, you're sad, like the seasonal depression or whatever it's called. And they just thought I was depressed. And I was like, no, like I'm sleeping all the time. And I was like, my stomach is getting bigger. And finally one day.
It sounds pregnant as fuck.
Yeah.
Really.
I assumed that someone along the way would be like, you're clearly pregnant, ma'am.
Yeah.
Like, that's what I thought.
Which you should never assume.
Which you should never
assume. Putting that out there. Do not ever assume.
Why?
Yeah. Oh, it's like the best feeling. I get asked if I'm pregnant a lot because.
Jesus.
No, you don't.
I do.
Who? Who is doing this? Yeah.
Oh, no, I can tell you who. I have a story. I don't even know if we should tell it, but I was there for that experience.
Oh, you told me this.
And it was. And this person was not pregnant when I heard someone say that they were pregnant. And it was the most cringy moment of my entire life.
Dude,
probably.
Absolutely.
I could imagine.
I wanted to scream and run.
It's the worst. Weird. Well, enough sidetracking, I guess. I have a hernia that's like in my upper
abdomen.
Upper abdomen.
And a hernia is like an opening in the in the tissue, like the inner wall.
Yeah. So mine's pretty much split all the way down my abdomen, so it's like completely torn apart.
Whoa.
Yeah.
Wait, is this like current?
Yeah.
Because of the shit that we're gonna get into? Okay, whoa, okay.
Yeah. So in a result I had this hernia, and when I was a little bit heavier, it just really, really stuck out, and it looked like I was pregnant the time. Just because it had that little bump, so people would be like, oh.
Oh, a little baby bump.
Yeah, and I'm like, no.
People would literally come up and grab your belly and just put their ear to you going, oh, can I hear him?
I can hear it. Yeah. Oh, my God, what a sweetheart.
Well, I've even named him Henry because I was like, this is Henry, and this is.
Oh, well, you're not doing yourself any fucking favors when you name the thing in your belly.
No, you got to name it. You got to take it.
Also, why are you just holding and caressing your belly like that? It makes you so uncomfortable.
It's just so little. Yeah.
Oh, so only cute. Pregnant women rub their belly like that.
Yeah. He's so cute.
It was weird.
Henry the hernia?
Obviously.
That's really funny.
Anyway, so I get asked a lot. And they're like,
sure.
You're pregnant. And then I'm like, no, it's a hernia.
Is that weird? Like, is that moment weird for you?
It was at the beginning, but then you got so used to it. There was a point when I was just like, maybe I should just say yes, like, and just be like, and then they'd be like, well, how far along are you? And you're like,
yeah, you're like, oh, fuck the follow-up. Like, you don't want to deal with the follow-up questions.
No, and I was like, no, just I'll stick with the hernia and make them feel a little bit
did
awkward.
Anybody like totally melt when you said, no, I'm not pregnant?
I fucking hope.
Yeah, you can tell in their faces. They're like, ooh, they're like, ooh. Sorry. But
it's like lesson learned, dude. Imagine. Yeah.
But now I don't get it as much because I went through all this other stuff and I dropped a bunch of water weight because that's why I'm on water pills, as I had mentioned.
Okay, so what's up with you then?
So then one day I was like 7 months pregnant. Like, this is what it looked like.
Yeah,
I was seven
like
months.
You were about to bust.
To bust. And I like waddled myself into the emergency. And I just sat down.
Get this pregnant woman a room.
But I was like,
stat.
I am not pregnant. And they were like, oh, that's not good. So they took me in to the hospital, and they really had no idea what was wrong with me. And they're like, we're just going to release fluid from your belly because...
Hold up for a second. I don't get how, like, all of a sudden it goes to, like, you looking like you're 7 months pregnant. Like, how quickly did this come on? Like, were you concerned in the meantime?
Brian, when people get pregnant, it's a slow, like, when the baby grows slowly, it's a slow, gradual process. And after about 7 months, the baby gets bigger and bigger. So it's like you don't really even notice how big you're getting until the baby's about to come out.
No, but I was asking Tracy.
Oh, right, because she's not pregnant.
Because I'm not
pregnant. Oh, fuck, yeah, right.
Yeah.
Oh, no.
It was a pretty quick onset. Like, I mean, again, I was gaining weight, but then all of a sudden it was just like within a week's time, I was like, whoa, this... got big.
Like, it just like distended.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah. So they were like, hey, we're going to release fluid.
What does that mean? They're going to, how do they do that? They just like lance you and then
they
push?
Like stick a hose kind of.
Whoa. Oh my God. This is the part that made me squirm.
Yeah. They kind of stick a hose in your side and they just like flush it. And it was just like, into like a bowl.
Was
like,
it? Did it just look like water?
It was like lime greenish looking.
Whoa!
It was not. But like they got 2 liters out of me. So like it, I just was laying there, and they were just like getting
that's a lot
fluid
that's,
out.
That's
of
That's a
me.
Lot of liquid coming out of a belly.
Okay. I have so many questions.
I know.
Like when they do this, are they like? Are they like, oh, you're not pregnant? Oh, you just must have a bunch of fluid in you. Let's drain you out. Or like, are they telling you what's going on and why this is happening?
No, like they could tell that I had this fluid, but they were like, we don't know why you have this.
Right.
So they're like, we want to like release the pressure from you because it was so painful because it was just.
I'm imagining your belly is like a bit of like a waterbed.
Yeah.
You know, like it's just like you touch it and it just kind of like.
Oh God! Don't make that.
Well, they do a test on you because
so bad right in the headphones.
They check it quite a bit on me now still to see if the fluid builds up, and it's like a weird tapping with their fingers on your bellies. So if it makes the ripple, then it means it's the fluid. If it doesn't, then I think that means it's just like fat.
The ripple. Do you guys remember the like Homer's belly? Like,
yeah.
Stop the belly, goes, but it like doesn't stop. You know, like it was almost this continuous wave,
like a waterbed.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Like that. Yeah,
so right. that is a test that they do. So they got rid of the fluid. They're like, we want to release pressure from you. They're like, we don't actually have a bed for you though. And like, I lived right across the street from the hospital. They're like, can you just come back tomorrow and we'll do this again for you? So I did, and then that time they could kind of keep me in emergency. And then finally they found out that I had a blood clot that was going out of my liver. So my liver was blocked.
Mm-hmm.
So like stuff was going into the liver but not going out.
Ooh.
And that's what had the fluid build up.
Your liver.
Mm-hmm.
Oh.
So was your liver just huge?
No, it's not necessarily that your liver's huge. It's just there's nowhere for anything to leave outside of your liver. So it just all backs up into like your abdomen.
Oh, in that like empty space.
Yeah.
Holy shit, dude. So what does that mean? Like when they figure that out, do they go, oh, you've got liver liquiditis or like something? Or
well,
like,
they still didn't really know. They just knew like, hey, this is blood clot. So they rushed me to VGH in Vancouver. And
because a blood clot can eventually give you a stroke, right?
Yeah.
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 That's right, because that's what Biff had in her kidney.
You're right.
Right? She had a stroke in her kidney because she had a blood clot in her kidney.
And if it goes to your, what's the thing I'm thinking of where
an aneurysm?
Where you get the air bubble that goes to your brain and then like if it pops then you're like hey you're
it's
dead
an
now.
Idea
you're dead
oh.
now
oh yeah right
no
dead.
It's not an idea yeah you're dead oh. I don't know what it's called so we don't need to talk about it but a blood you got your blood
but
clot.
Yeah, blood clots aren't good
yeah.
But. That's the
and
general
you need, and you need to and a blood clotting is that the blood thickens right and it's, it just can't move
and it can't move
like like liquid through your veins so you need to take whatever to break up the clot
so thankfully there was a doctor on call that doctor that would take me at VGH because they actually called a couple of hospitals and they're like we don't have anyone right now that has any idea of what to do with this. Like, we've never seen this before where someone has a blood clot out of their liver. And so finally this doctor was like, yeah, no, I'll take her, bring her down. So they rushed me off. And then they figured out that I had what's called Budd-Chiari, and that's just the name.
Sweet new strain?
Yeah.
Bug Chiari?
Like, Bug Chiari. Yeah,
Bug Chiari as in the ancient Taekwondo technique?
Sure.
I feel like it sounds, to me it sounds more like a snowboarder.
But yeah,
yo, Bud Chiari's coming down the hill right now. Slopestyle competition, big 1080 coming up.
Yeah, dude, Bud Chiari.
Totally, that's why they named that. So that was, as I said in my application, I'm a double one in a millionaire, and I kind of felt like, remember the show House?
Yeah, mm-hmm. Fuck yeah.
That's what I felt like every day in that hospital, because like they would bring all of their students and be like, look at her. This is very rare. And
because of the liver clot.
Yeah.
Because it's very just because of the rarity of it.
The rarity of it. And so then the hematologist team, same thing. They're like, hey, we have this girl. If this happened, let's all go and look at her, you know, and which was fine. Like, people need to learn. But it was like that episode of House where they're like, oh, what does she have?
You're the experiment.
Do you have any idea why it's so rare? Because I'm going, because to me, I'm going, like, a clot seems like a pretty common thing, but the rarity is that it happens where it happens. Yeah. So why is it so crazy that it occurs there? Is there a reason?
I don't know the reason per se why that particular location. Because mm-hmm. I mean, like, you hear a lot of people getting them in their legs. Like, that's a common thing.
It's probably because like it's not like a artery vein heavy spot. I would say
that's 100% it, and we don't need to dig any further.
No, yeah, me too.
Yeah,
that is the word. So finally, they figured out. They end up doing a random test to be like, hey, well, let's check to see if it's this, and then that's where they found out I had. PNH is the short term for it.
Oh, whoa.
Can you say the long term?
Yes. Paroxysmal nocturnal hemoglobinuria.
Holy
so
fuck.
You paroxysmal can see very well at night.
You're close with the night part?
Nocturnal. That's so that's one word.
You nailed that part.
Okay, wait, let me try. Paroxysmal nocturnal hemotriglobia.
Close. Paroxysmal.
Paroxysmal.
Nocturnal.
Nocturnal.
Hemoglobinuria.
Okay. Hemoglobinuria.
I'm going to try it.
Yeah.
Paroxysmal nocturnal. Oh, fuck. I was reading it. I couldn't even fucking do it.
Then you weren't even trying. You were just doing something different.
Paroxysmal nocturnal hemoglobinuria.
Well, I can actually break it down and probably figure it out. So paroxysmal, it means of the perea. So that's an area in the perineum of the, you know, in the valve in the system. And then nocturnal means that it's usually happens around nighttime. And then hemoglobinuria is having to do with the blood and the urinary system.
You are actually pretty close. So it pretty much translates to dark urine at night.
Okay.
Whoa.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That doesn't sound so bad.
Yeah, that's all I have. Yeah. That's it.
Like what Craig had.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, like tar sands piss.
Yeah.
Yeah, so that's not everyone with PNH necessarily gets the telltale, like, really dark pee. I have only gotten it a couple times, and it's dark for sure.
Like, how dark?
Like Coca-Cola dark.
Like black?
Hey, that's what Craig said.
And he's undiagnosed.
Well, no, maybe Craig has that. No, Craig did get diagnosed.
Did he get diagnosed with PNH?
I don't know.
Dude, crazy. We should fucking find out.
Yeah.
So wait, okay, quick question. So before you had gone into the hospital the first time, when your belly was like distended, did you have dark pee before that?
No.
Okay, so this kind of happened sometime after?
This happened more so like when I was in the hospital, and like if I get sick now, like if I get a cold or something, like I'm going through an infection, it will sometimes happen more. Mm-hmm. It happened when I was actually, I went to Fernie a couple years ago, and like the elevation, I think, also for some reason affected it. Like it was just a weird random, like it just seemed darker than mm-hmm. normal. I don't know. But so I don't really get that part of it.
Usually anymore. My med school friends say like correlation does not mean causation, you know?
Yeah. I'm sure if I came in and said like, oh, my pee is like coat color, they may have figured something out quicker.
Yeah, right.
And a lot of people with PNH don't get diagnosed very quickly because it's so, like, the main symptom is like just fatigue. Like, you are so tired all the time.
Man, I feel like we got a call, Craig.
Do you have? Are you like? Is there like crazy muscle soreness? And
I get it sometimes. Like some days, yes. Some days, no. It's mostly like you'll feel it in your abdomen. You'll feel pain. Yeah. You get back pain.
Like, does it feel like a cold in your muscles?
Sorry,
we keep referring back to this past episode that we did with our friend Craig, who for years went undiagnosed, but he did get diagnosed, but I forget what it is, but I feel like it might be PNH.
That'd be very...
It would be.
Very interesting.
But here's the thing. So PNH is really bad, right?
Yeah.
Like, how bad?
Well, it's pretty much, it's a blood clotting disorder. So I clot more than... others.
So you're just at risk of those blood clots.
Like I have three blood clots in me right now, currently.
Whoa.
I have one in my IVC, which is the inferior vena cava.
Let's
go for that. And then I have two in my lungs.
Holy shit, dude. So
they're very small.
Does this mean they could like work their way to your brain?
Yeah, they're more or so like, worried about like it would work my way to my heart.
And then that's like cardiac arrest area.
But, like, I mean, this happened about 5 months ago in April when this all started, that they found these clots. But they haven't moved, they haven't grown, they haven't done anything. So they think that they're just going to maybe be there for a while. Or the body should absorb them eventually. But I'm on, like, blood thinners.
I was going to ask,
Yeah. So, like, there's things to prevent it. And I've lots of medications.
So can you drink?
No one's told me no.
Why wouldn't you be able to? Why would you ask that?
Because if you're on blood thinners, I think it's risky to consume alcohol.
Yeah.
Is it?
Because I think you get drunk really quickly too.
Alcohol thins your blood, I believe. Doesn't
yeah,
it?
Yeah. Thins
so,
your blood.
But if you're all that just all sounds great. Just like whack the booze to you, whack the blood thinners to you. Just
but I
no
think
room
the,
for clots.
I
ever.
Think the danger is that you're taking a measured dose of that because you're trying to thin your blood to a certain degree.
Yeah.
I don't know. I would assume that you probably don't want to.
Yeah, like I mean,
do more of that if you're taking a certain dose.
I'm pretty sure you do. I would
it's
know.
All good.
We've been hosting this podcast now for 3 years. I think I know.
Yeah,
but again, no one's ever told me. Like, no, don't do that. But at the same time, it's like, I'm aware that, like, okay, I shouldn't go overboard by any means.
Also, guys, can we not say no to drinking? Like, this is probably brought to you by JP Weiser's, maybe. So I don't want to, like, step on the toes of our sponsorship.
I can only drink Weiser's.
I'm just joking. I'm joking. So
I think we're sponsored by a weed company now.
Yeah, so I don't fucking know. So you're like, do you take warfarin or what's the?
I'm on Deltaparin, so it's a needle.
Like daily?
Yep.
Daily needle.
Mm-hmm.
Do you administer yourself?
I do it myself.
Oh my God.
It used to be twice a day, which was horrible because it was once in the morning, once in the evening.
Have you done it yet?
Yeah.
Today?
I did.
Fuck.
Yeah.
I know.
It would have been cool to see it.
I have shown people because I'm like, do you want to stab myself?
Oh, it's just like a prick in the leg.
It's in the thigh or in the abdomen.
Okay. So kind of like a diabetic.
Yeah, I'm assuming. Yeah.
Yeah.
It just has to be like, it's like under the skin. So it's not like a want to go into
your...
Yes, that is the correct word.
See, I told you, I've been hosting this show for 3 years.
It's how you take steroids.
I don't know what the fuck's up.
You know what? I want to say...
I don't know either.
I don't want this to come across as insensitive, but like, I would really like to give somebody an EpiPen at some point in my life.
Yeah.
See, you know? I don't think I could do that. Like, even though I give myself a needle every day, it's just the... aggressiveness of an EpiPen.
Yeah, I want to Uma Thurman somebody. Yeah.
It's not that aggressive. Like, you're not supposed to come down like you're trying to put their leg through the fucking floor. You just want to make sure you get that shit in there. It's
right.
Like, it's like you just kind of give yourself a
like,
Charlie horse.
I don't want to see somebody go through that, but I kind of think it would be cool to like have that experience.
There is something kind of cool about like taking the thing and putting it in your mouth, popping the cap out, spitting the cap over to the side. Back up, getting everyone to, you know, clear the way, and then like just ripping their shirt open and stabbing it in their chest. But I don't think you're supposed to do that.
Yeah, I don't think you're supposed to do that.
I get it.
Where do you stab?
I feel like it's supposed to be a thigh.
And you go right through the clothing too. It's like get through. You gotta. That's why it's aggressive, because you're supposed to.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, they got raw denim, untreated raw denim straight from Japan. Dude, you better have a fucking arm on you to get through that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
They're wearing like, they're
just
wearing.
Good to know about raw denim. My God, I didn't know before.
They're wearing Kevlar pants. Like, you're just really going to want to like put some pressure on that.
So, okay. So you figure all this out.
Yeah. So.
And so like, where does that leave you? Are you, Like, how fucked up does this make you?
Well,
like, were you pretty normal up to this point in your life?
Yeah.
Normal. I mean, you know. Were you one of the normies? I would never know what that's like.
I was. I mean, when they look back at it now, it's kind of...
Fuck you guys. I just watched you guys high five on being normal. You fucks.
Well, this side is
going
not.
Strong.
People can't see it, but the two sickos are on one side of the table and you two are on the other. Sorry. That totally
My legs are sore today.
Yeah,
oh.
Yeah, whatever.
Yeah,
fuck off.
Keep going.
I don't remember where I was.
I don't either. Were
you normal?
Oh, but I just had, like, looking back, like, they tried to ask me questions like, oh, were you always tired? And I'm like, well, I was a teenager and I played a lot of sports, so yeah, I was, but again, and it's not like I was born with it. It's a genetic mutation, so it just happens at some point. So it's not, and my parents didn't give it to me, like, it's just, it just mutated.
But wouldn't a genetic mutation be something you're born with?
No.
Because CF is a genetic mutation,
but it has to mutate at some point.
I think if you looked at PNH, I believe it says, and you can correct me if I'm wrong because I could be wrong, but it's one of the only like genetically acquired, which means like it's not passed down from parents because of their genes. It's just like a mutation. You just get it.
Oh yeah, it may develop on its own or in the context of. Other bone marrow disorders. Or something.
You've got your genes, and then at some point there's a mutation in your genetic code, and then now it's like, hey, now you've got it.
Kind of like an X-Men.
Isn't that so fucking crazy? That you can be normal, and then one day you're just like, oh, my genes just went. Nah.
Isn't it kind of crazy that the X-Men are sort of just like the reverse of being sick? It's just like instead of genes mutating and you getting sick, your genes mutate and you can be invisible.
It's really cool how real that is too.
Well,
I don't think anybody was.
I don't think anyone's.
You know what I find really fascinating though? You said earlier that they like basically resolved the problem initially, but then there was like all this conversation of like, well, what is it that is actually causing you to develop these clots? So then they actually like dig in deeper to figure that out. I think that's really important because, you know, oftentimes healthcare is about solving the problem. And I think that in order to solve the problem, you actually need to figure out what is causing it.
Yes.
And so I'm interested to know a little bit more about like that experience. Like what types of things did they have to do to like figure out what was causing these clots?
Honestly, like from the hematology team, they pretty much, well, I don't know if they said it out loud, but kind of said like, oh, okay, we thought we'd test for this rare thing. Because, oh, sorry, PNH is the other like 1 in a million chance
it's,
that you have that.
Fucking rare.
Yeah, so.
Which if it is Craig, which would explain why it was hard to diagnose.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And again, yeah, lots of people don't get diagnosed for a long time. I was lucky in the sense that I actually got the blood clot because they got to diagnose it a lot quicker.
Right. there's clearly some construction happening.
Oh yeah,
upstairs.
If the listeners can hear that, there's some construction around.
so it's kind of crazy that you have the two, like the double 1 in a million.
Yeah.
Do you buy lottery tickets?
I did for this like last one that the U.S. had, like the 1.6 billion.
Yeah, they sold it in like South Carolina or something.
What?
Yeah,
there was a $1.6 billion lottery?
Yeah, and it was sold. Someone bought the ticket. Yeah. Saw it on the news.
Wait, if you mean someone won?
Someone
won, but I don't think they've come forward yet.
I don't think so.
Shit, dude, you better lawyer up. You win that shit.
Yeah.
Get your fucking shit together before you come out to the public.
Yeah, don't get your nephew to go buy the ticket for you either.
Yeah,
definitely. Oh, yeah, I heard about that.
Dude, that's so crazy. They hate each other now.
Yeah. I'm gonna fight my aunt on
this. So the thing that I'm interested in, especially from the perspective of going, hey, I'm, you know, more or less like a healthy person, and then all of a sudden they're like, hey, you've got a clot in your liver. That's super rare. Oh, yeah. And the reason that you have the clot is because you have this other crazy rare condition. And now you're just going to develop blood clots and here's the medication. Mm-hmm. But, and I feel like, and correct me if I'm wrong, that them going, hey, you have blood clots. And, you know, as long as we know that you have them, I'm assuming they're like, the doctors are like, we can handle this and we can sort this out as long as we stay on top of it. But at the same time, blood clots are, there's always a risk of you dying, like, or having a stroke. Like,
yeah, that's. not that I think of it daily by any means, but it's like you feel something and you're like, oh.
What was your reaction when they were like, you've got blood clots and you are just prone to developing blood clots, which are dangerous as fuck?
I feel like I have a very good capability of, not like I become unaware of what they tell me, but I just always just go in stride and be like, okay, mm-hmm. okay, sweet. Okay, I got through that surgery when they put the shunt in. It's like, okay, now I have this. And it's like, okay. And they didn't fully explain to me actually what PNH was. I was initially on warfarin at that time because mm-hmm. they said, we're going to put you on warfarin. Mm-hmm. And I thought I was like, I have PNH, but I think I've just been diagnosed with being on warfarin because it was horrible. Like, you have to go and do these blood tests like almost every other day. And I, like,
dude,
that was
what they kill yeah. rats with.
Yeah. And I was just like, this sounds the worst. Whoa. Like,
warfarin is rat poison.
Yeah.
Oh, shit.
When you go to the store and buy rat poison, you're buying warfarin.
And that's what they do. That's what they give people to thin their blood.
Yeah. Yeah.
So,
and then, that's how it kills rats, is it thins their blood to the point where they just go, and it just starts pouring out of every orifice. Isn't that fucked? That's how we fucking kill rats. It's crazy.
Dude, that is fucked up.
Sick Boy Podcast will be right back after this word from our sponsors.
Are you tired of hearing the same old wellness advice? It's time to dig deeper and listen to America Dissected from Crooked Media, the podcast that's cutting into the science, culture, and policy that shapes our health. From doctors fighting for their rights to the surprising truths about sunscreen, America Dissected dives deep into the state of health. Tune in every Tuesday for new episodes of America Dissected, available on all major podcast platforms.
You mentioned that, like, there's been some times recently where like symptoms have come on stronger, like mm-hmm. when you've gone up to altitude and stuff like that. So obviously like it still shows up in your life every now and again right now, I'm
yeah,
assuming?
Well, for the last like 5 years, I was actually pretty good. Like I took about 3 months off of work cause I had to get the surgery done. And actually, once I got the surgery, I went home and 2 weeks later I had clotted again in the exact same area. So that shunt that they put in, it clotted again. So they had to go and do that surgery again, fix it. That's where I ended up getting the hernia because, like, my muscles there were just so, like, destroyed. Because, mm-hmm. like, they cut me. Like, I have a huge scar all the way down my abdomen to the side. So, like, they really tore up that area of my body.
Yeah.
So that's where I ended up getting the hernia because it was just so weak. Anyways. But then I was like pretty good. Like I went back to work. I only worked part time because again, I was so tired still all the time.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm on a medication called Soliris, PNH, I guess I should say what PNH I guess kind of is and why it deals with blood clots.
Yeah.
Kind of. My red blood cells die quicker than everyone else's. So like everyone's red blood cells die, but mine just go super fast. So our blood levels will be really, really low a lot of the time because we're just losing so much
blood. Is that why you're tired?
Yeah.
Right. So, and your red blood cells are they're the guys that carry the oxygen around,
yeah.
right?
And so like my hemoglobin, which is like the content of oxygen or whatever through them, like a normal person's is like 115 to about 135. Mine has been as low as 50. So I was working on like half of
less than 50%.
That's what I was actually...
Which makes a lot of sense for being tired.
Yeah. So right. On that note, is there things that your doctors have recommended that you like avoid doing? Like is physical activity a good thing for you or a bad thing for you?
It's tough. Like they say with PNH, like do like light exercise that's supposed to help you.
Like should you be doing CrossFit?
No, well, no.
Because Brian's about to give you the fucking rundown on how sick a wad
is. The thing is...
Because we can do some AMRAPs right now.
Yeah. Yeah. The thing is, it's the hernia that's actually a problem for me because it's my abdomen. I can't do a lot of anything that involves my core.
Right, which is like...
Everything.
Jared, pay attention. Are you paying attention? Because there's lots of excuses here that you can use if you want to keep avoiding going to the gym.
Like, I have PNH, I can't go. But yeah, so that's the issue. Like I used to play volleyball a lot, but now I can't because that whole motion of bringing your body
of getting an ace,
dude, everything.
Back,
yeah. Hence the reason it's called your core.
Yeah, it's the core of everything. So that's the issue. That
it's so essential.
Yeah,
and central.
Yeah. Poor.
So then, has there been any, has there been an emotional impact that it's had on you? Like, as far as like being body conscious?
Almost the opposite, actually. Like, now I think I have a much greater appreciation for my body, because like I look back at when I was like young, whatever that
quote
is,
unquote, yeah,
20
yeah, sure.
or whatever. And like, you know, you're so self-conscious. It's like, oh, don't have the perfect body or whatever.
Yeah.
But now I just embrace it. And like, I'll show people my scars and be like, oh yeah, whatever. This is that. Like, and I'm so in tune with my body now, because I have to be aware of like, okay, I can almost feel like my hemoglobin levels are dropping.
Yeah.
So then I know to take myself into an emergency, get yeah. a blood transfusion. Like, and that happens a lot, that I get blood transfusions, because I just know wow. now my Whoa. Body. So.
Like how often?
I would, every time I got like a cold or something, like, so like.
Every time you get a cold, you get a blood transfusion?
Yeah.
What
pretty
the
much.
Fuck?
Because it just, so like the process of your red blood cells dying is called hemolysis. And so infections and things like that causes hemolysis or whatever.
Mm-hmm. Hemolysism.
Yeah, sure. to speed
Hemolysite.
Up. Yeah. Right. So it goes quicker. So it just causes that rate to go higher. So then your blood levels are just dropping.
So do you rely on people like Canadian Blood Services to like provide you with that blood? Is that what a yeah. blood transfusion is? Like donated
yeah, it's just
blood
donated
that just
blood.
Goes?
Yeah.
Holy okay. shit, dude.
You're one of the people that they're like million, like Canadians
yeah.
need donate. Blood.
And like I would give blood if I could, but
yeah, you can't.
I can't.
That makes
yeah,
sense.
Yeah, yeah. You're just dying yeah. off.
They're like, this girl needs it super bad.
Yeah.
We got some blood to give you, but it's like, I don't know, it looks really dead.
Yeah.
The blood cells are dead as fuck.
Like, usually yeah. we have this healthy blood that's like around 115 to 150. This shit's like running at like 50.
Yeah.
yeah.
Do you want that?
So, what does a blood transfusion look like? Like, is that like, oh, there goes my Wednesday, you know? Like,
yeah, because you have to go into emergency. And so it's, even though like I know how to like sit down and be like, my hemoglobin I know is low, but I need you to check it. But I was like, then I just need a blood transfusion. And they'll a lot of the time be like, oh, well, let's make sure and check. And it's like, no, I know how this works. I just need a blood transfusion.
Yeah.
And then it's getting better now where they're like, okay. Let's give you the blood transfusion.
Like, how many blood transfusions are we talking in, like, the last 5 years?
Ooh. Without being actually in a hospital, like, because of a surgery or something like that, just outside of that, I would say probably, like, 4. But then when I'm in hospital, like, if I have to get a procedure done, then they always give me blood transfusion before, like, tons. Mm. Like, I'll get at least 2 bags every time. Like, I've had up to 6 bags.
That's way more than I've ever had.
What's your blood type?
I believe it's positive.
Dead? Yeah, just positively dead.
Non-existent.
I think Brian's, like, wondering if he can harvest your organs from the lab.
Yeah, yeah.
They're all really great. The liver,
Brian's
got
a side hustle.
You can take that.
He's working on. So, how do they do it? Like, is it just like,
through
okay,
an IV.
Here's the bag, we're going to take, do they take blood out of you while
nope.
they put it in you?
Nope.
They literally just put fresh shit in.
Put blood in.
Oh, so it's pretty simple. Like, it's a
yeah,
simple procedure.
It's just you have to get an IV. And I'm used to, as I was saying, I'm on a medication called Soliris. So every 2 weeks I have a nurse come to my home and she does an IV in my home.
Oh my God.
So like, I'm used to IVs. That's not a problem. This Soliris medication though, which is probably interesting fact, it's $500,000 a year.
Ooh,
wow.
I didn't know you were that baller. I mean, yeah. I saw you come in here with the Chanel purse and the Gucci eyeglasses.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And also, I those are Yeezys, but like first edition
yeah,
Yeezys.
Mm-hmm.
So that makes a lot of sense now. I was wondering what
yeah,
that was all
no,
about.
No, I only go for the expensive stuff. Yeah, no, it's just because it's such a rare disorder and this medicine like really treats PNH and another one called aHUS. That's their short form, I think. But it's only for 2 like rare diseases. So it's super expensive.
So is this a thing that you are, as a Canadian, you are afforded the ability to have that given to you? Or
no.
oh fuck.
Well, yes and no. I was lucky, like my work coverage at the time, my insurance covers it.
Covers the whole thing
mm-hmm.
at the time.
Well, I'm still on that.
Okay.
But within Canada, which ones? Alberta, I think, and Ontario for sure. And somewhere
out east.
Out east. one of them, I forget, they cover it for everyone.
Probably Nova Scotia. Nova Scotia is like pretty baller.
I want to say it's probably Nova Scotia.
So let's just say, hypothetically, let's say I am, I live in Saskatchewan, and I just like get P&H today, and I need Solaris. And I am a podcaster with no life or health insurance.
Yeah.
Am I fucked?
Well,
like what?
They can get it, like, in BC, it's a case to case. Well, it's just case to case, I guess.
I think it really depends on how popular your podcast is.
Yeah. Well, yeah, that's true.
Yeah, like how valuable.
Well, let's
are
say
you?
I just got into podcasting and, like, I don't know what I'm doing and no one really likes it.
So they can fund it, but it's usually like on a compassionate, they call it a compassionate
rate
or whatever. Yeah. So it means like we'll cover you, but sometimes it's only for like maybe 6 months at a time.
Right.
And to be like, let's just see if this helps. Like
we'll cover you, but we're also going to take your firstborn.
Yeah.
It doesn't sound like Martin Shkreli's running that business though.
No.
I don't think Martin Shkreli has his hand in that pot.
I think Martin Shkreli's in jail.
I think he's walking.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
That's crazy.
That is fucking crazy.
So that's kind of an issue for me now because it's like, yes, I have insurance coverage and like I'm now on long-term disability from work, but I don't really have a choice in life to be like, oh yeah, I just want to switch my job. Like
you're locked in.
Yeah. And if I go off of it, like, cause if I went to the government and been like, hey, well, can I get coverage through you guys? They're going to say, well, you're already covered. But so if I went off of that and then to get covered sometimes takes a long time and like I need it every 2 weeks.
What if you don't get it? What happens?
I would there's such a higher chance of getting blood clots and then
you could die.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
That is crazy.
You know what I never thought of? I never thought of the way that a person could be like tied to a job based on the insurance that they have with that job.
And I love my job, so that's fantastic.
What do you do? What's your?
I'm a travel agent.
Oh, sweet. That's cool. That's fun.
Yeah.
I'll talk to you after. I'm planning a Disney World trip.
Okay. I'm our travel agent.
Yeah. Maybe you could give me some tips.
Yeah.
But you're on long-term disability. What does that mean? And like, why? Because you look fine.
Yeah.
I'm sure you get that all
I get
the
that
time.
All the time.
Right?
I just had this conversation with someone yesterday who also deals with an illness and we're like, oh, I hate that. You don't look like a sick person. And
Like, what is that? What's that?
Fuck you guys.
Well, I mean, we don't look sick either. Well, I mean, we're not. But I mean, we all don't look sick.
Neither do I.
Yeah, right.
And like we had said, it's like, it's not like one of our symptoms is like, oh, stop taking care of yourself and like walking around in your pajamas.
Yeah,
like
you should look worse.
But
so your long-term disability, is that because of the treatments that you do or the fatigue or?
Well, no, it's because this last April, well, actually, I went on in about November because my blood levels were getting so, so low. Like, I couldn't even do, like, a day at work. And I was only working part-time. And then they kind of gave me an option to kind of work from home just for a little bit just so I can cope.
Mm-hmm.
But my spleen got really enlarged from all of this. So I was pretty much, and like the spleen, when it's that enlarged, it's pretty much taking all your blood and everything and storing it in there. So like my levels were just going down. So I couldn't do anything. So in April, they did a procedure called a splenetic embolization.
Oh God, that just sounds not awesome.
Yeah, it wasn't. But
I can attest to that.
Yeah. It pretty much, they cut off the blood flow to, I think it's like 40% of my spleen, or it's vice versa. I forget if it's 60%, to just cut that off and have that like killed off.
Die.
Yeah.
Whoa. How do they do that?
So
how
they
do you
go
cut
in,
off the
like,
blood
they go in like
flow.
Laparoscopically.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah.
And then they pretty much like cauterize it, I believe.
Oh my God.
Like inside. Yeah. So they kind of like clot it up. That's one time you actually guess want to clot.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And they cauterize it. So it just kills that section of the spleen off.
What happened to it? Does it just fall off and then
well,
you
they say
it out?
Your body gave birth to the spleen. No, like your body's supposed to just absorb it. Like I saw a scan of it the other day, and like my doctor was like, "Oh, here's the living part and here's the dead part.
Yeah, right. you're like, where does it go? They just go, your body will take care
of
it.
Yeah, don't worry about it. Sweat it out. Yeah.
Okay.
So they did that and they just said, like, this is really going to hurt. Like, they don't like, well, no one, I guess, likes getting any procedure done. But because it's like you're having a dead organ in your body. Like, your body doesn't know what to do because something's dying in there.
Yeah.
So I went home and it was like only like a 2-night procedure. Like, I was there 2 nights. So I went home and then like after a couple of weeks, I was like, I know this is supposed to hurt still, but I don't know if it's supposed to hurt this bad.
It was really gnarly.
Yeah. And so, but then there was a moment where I just couldn't walk. Like, I couldn't walk from like me to you, which I know no one can see how it's far
about,
away that is.
Yeah, we're probably about 2 kilometers away from each other.
Yeah.
We're doing this whole remote thing.
Yeah.
No, like, I could almost reach out and touch you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so I would get up and I would have to sit down. Like, I couldn't breathe. I would try to shower and I would just like throw up in the shower because I was just like exhausted. Whoa. And that's when I was like, I don't think this is right anymore. So I got taken by ambulance to the hospital, and then I ended up in ICU for 2 weeks because that's when they found I had those 2 blood clots, or 3, I guess, that I was talking about earlier. So in my IVC and in my lungs. And so
lungs. How long have you been living with those?
Well, that was just in April of this year.
Oh, so that's really recent.
So, yeah. Well, so recent. Between April, I was pretty much in and out of the hospital from April to the beginning of June. So it was like 3 different stints of going into the hospital there.
I was gonna say,
why I'm now on disability, because I just...
Right, which makes sense.
I had a question that's kind of going to move a little bit away from this topic.
Go for it. Yeah, yeah.
I can't help but think about how it would feel to go from being somebody who lives with basically, as a normie, like Taylor and I, to all of a sudden having to, you know, deal with all of this shit, and like you're sitting here talking like very cavalier about it.
Yeah.
Has there been like an emotional, almost like journey through this?
Yeah, very much so. I mean, I think personally, like, I mean, there's days obviously that I just melt down and cry because it's like, oh, this sucks. Like, all my friends are out doing something fun and I don't have the energy to go do that. Like, but I don't know, I've just kind of learned not to care about that. Like, you just get a new normal, right? Like, yeah, it's
right.
You just kind of adjust to it. And I try not to think of all the bad things that could happen. Like, this last stint was probably the closest where I was like, oh, that one was close. Like, that could have been, I could have died on that one.
Mm-hmm.
Especially when the doctor, I asked her, I was like, so how bad is this? She's like, are you asking me if you're going to die or not? And I'm like, yeah, pretty much. She's like, I can't really tell you. Like,
oh, wow.
She's like, whoa. I don't know. Because that's where they were worried the clot would go to my heart or something, right? So thankfully, obviously, I'm here and I'm fine. But it's that. And like, also, because like when it all initially started, I had just gotten married. So it was like,
yeah, right.
Welcome to your new wife.
Yeah. Like, how did your husband take that?
He's been amazing. Like, he's an amazing support system. But I mean, I probably have more harder time on it because then I feel like, oh, what if I'm a burden?
You're the burden. Yeah.
I know he doesn't feel that way. Like, and he lets me know that. But I think I take it worse than maybe he does. But I know that, like, he doesn't obviously love seeing me in the hospital. Like, that's hard for him. And sometimes, like, you know, he just needs to step away and be like, I just need to go do something normal that's not you getting an infusion with your nurse. Like, he'll often, like, when my nurse comes, he'll be like, oh, I'm just going to take off because that's me and my nurse time and that's his...
Mm-hmm. His bro time.
His bro time. Yeah.
Going to the man cave.
Yeah. which I'm totally fine with. Cause
yeah, he sounds like a catch.
Yeah.
I'm just joking. Just totally joking.
I love it.
I was thinking a little bit about this lately because I actually just signed up to do a genetic test.
Oh.
And I heard about people being worried about getting the results back because, like, there's a possibility that you could find out if you have the gene for Alzheimer's or something right? And I was thinking about it myself. Like, would I be upset if I found out that I was going to, like, probably develop Alzheimer's at a later stage in my life? And I guess for me, because I'm 29 and that's so far away that it just wouldn't really... I don't think it would affect me because it's so far off in the future and it's hard to like actually, it's hard to imagine that point in my life. But I guess like, and I'm trying to relate that kind of idea of that to your situation where like you live with almost this like idea that a bad blood clot could, you know, basically take your life. Yeah. But like at the same point, there's no point in worrying about that and feeling miserable about it when it's not actually affecting you at that time, right?
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
Yeah, no, it does. And like if I worried about it every day, like that would be horrible.
It would suck. Right. Yeah.
That would be horrible. So it's just, I try to be positive as much as I can be because there's nothing you can do like until it happens.
Is that something that's just natural for you?
Yeah, I've always been like pretty easygoing, almost probably to a fault at some points, not as much anymore. I've definitely become like, ever since 5 years ago, I've definitely become like safety Sally. Like my friends all make fun of me because I'm just very like, let's not do anything dangerous. Like, yeah. And so I don't know if that triggered something in me to be a little bit more.
Do you mean like in terms of like dangerous as in, you know, I don't know, like going out on a skidoo or like, or skiing? Or do you mean like dangerous as in like, let's not, you know,
swallowing, you know, swords.
Yeah. Yeah. I was going to say something like being like a germaphobe kind of thing where it's like, let's not go in the sewer. But I don't know why people go in sewers.
Yeah,
I don't know.
Is that something you commonly do? I just...
Like, are you trying to protect yourself from getting sick? Or are you trying to protect yourself from, like, not having your head taken off from some sort of, like, activity?
Yeah, I don't know what it is. Like, I think I definitely developed some sort of anxiety when I got sick.
Oh,
again,
wow.
Just kind of being like, oh, I'm a little bit more anxious about everything. And it's not, but it's over, like, weird things, like things I can't control.
I think that's what I was kind of asking too, because it's more immediate for you. You know, like if when I think about the Alzheimer's thing, like that's so far away. But for you, like a blood clot could be something that if you don't take care of yourself and like get sick and then, you know, that situation gets exacerbated by the blood clotting, then that could be like a really realistic risk, right?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Like, yeah.
No, sorry. Go
don't
ahead.
Think about it though. Don't. Yeah. I don't want to. I don't want to.
Yeah, we're fucking around.
I don't
want to
freak
now.
You out. Yeah. Oh shit! Is she okay?
Is there a cure for this? Is there a way to cure PNH or
bone marrow transplant?
Okay.
Oh,
well, is that like? Why don't you just do that?
Because it's super. Like the risks of that going well, because it's like a 50% chance. Like you.
Of like living?
Yeah.
Holy fuck. Really?
Why? Because of your body rejecting it?
Yeah, I believe so. Like they have it. Yeah. Like they say like it can be cured, but they just said like it's just too risky. Like, and with this Soliris that I'm on, the medication, it pretty much like, so our red blood cells are missing a protein and that's why they die faster. So this medicine kind of like tapes that protein onto the red blood cell. So they die at a slower rate.
Right.
So that's kind of
so
like
crazy.
That it does improve your quality of life. Like once you get on that, it's a huge, huge.
Like your energy levels are way better because your blood isn't dying at the same rate.
Exactly.
And you noticed that, like when you started it, were you like, holy shit.
Yeah. I remember my very first infusion because, like, I was, like, literally, I thought, I'm not going to make it until I get it. And I was just waiting the days. And when I got it that first day, like...
Angels singing from above.
Yeah.
Could you see, like, did it change the way you... My wife one time ate a blue rare steak after being, like, years of vegetarian. Mm. And she was, like, she could see differently. Like, colors became more vibrant, like, in that moment. Which I find super fascinating. Like, did you have any sort of like, whoa, like I'm like, you know, like jacked up or like?
No, it was just more like a sense of relief that now you have this life-saving drug in you.
Okay, yeah.
Because it literally is life-saving. Mm-hmm. So it's more just, the I could relax and not have to worry about like, am I going to make it, you know, until I get this.
Yeah, it was like There we go. Yeah, right. Yeah.
Should we check that?
I think it might have been. Was that your phone?
Oh
God, I know it scared me for a second.
It sounded
like
someone just like a woman screaming in the hallway.
It did. I know. I was like, what's your fucking ringtone, dude? Is it someone getting stabbed to death?
It is. Yeah, it's Halloween.
It's
coming
Halloween.
Up, you know?
God,
it's Halloween. It scared me. It gave me all.
You know, there's another way. There's another way other than bone marrow transplant to be healed.
Oh no.
Spellcasting.
Yeah.
Dude, we got an email yesterday from us.
He replied to you.
I know. You know what? Let's save it for a host episode, but there's a wizard who can spellcast all your troubles away.
He heals you through the
ring. We'll send you his contact.
He heals you through the power of God, and he doesn't ask you for any money, and all you need to do is donate to his orphanage.
Yeah. Huh. Yeah, certain items. He needs
if
items.
You like, if you want. Oh,
okay. And also, he needs your identity.
Oh, yes. Okay. Yeah. So, and my address. So
and photos of you, too.
Yeah.
I just need your first name, your last name, a photo of you, a droplet of your blood and your SID number.
That's it. I'll be cured. Yeah. Sounds great.
I'm wondering how are you now? Like, where are you at now? Like, what's Tracy today?
Today feels probably better than I have in actually 5 years because the spleen, when they shrunk it, it made a huge difference. So my blood levels are almost kind of normal, mm-hmm. like normal for me, a little bit higher than normal, I guess. So I just have more energy. And I don't know, you just kind of live day to day. Like, my life is really like every 2 weeks I get my medication. I rest up. Like, I love to sleep, which is great because you're always tired.
Sleep is fun.
Yeah. So it's just kind of living day to day. Like, some days are still like really bad where you're just really, really tired. And some days are like today I feel great.
What would you say is the biggest thing that PNH and all of this together has taken away from you?
I think it's mostly that freedom to do whatever I want. Mm-hmm. Like, you don't have that freedom anymore to be like as we said, oh, I can't just change jobs, or like, oh, I can't just go play volleyball. I can't just go do this. I have to think, or even like just something mundane like, okay, so we're going to go meet our friends here, and then we're going to go see some other friends at this time and other friends at this time, where it's like, I can't last that whole day. It's so it's like, I can't get just go. Like, I won't survive that day because I'll be so tired. So just things where you have to think about your day. But I don't, like, it hasn't really taken away. Yeah, it sucks, but what are you going to do?
Yeah. What would you say it's the biggest thing it's given you?
I think, like, as I was saying before, just like a newfound respect for my body and what I'm capable of. Like, I didn't realize that I could actually be as strong as I am. And it's really kind of cool. Like, I don't put it out there on social media a lot of like everything that's going on, but sometimes I do. Mm-hmm. And when people do, they're like, oh, you're really inspiring, or like, oh, you're really brave. And you're like, okay.
I'm not trying.
Yeah, I wasn't trying to, but that's great. If I can give that to you, that's awesome. I mean, that's obviously like why I like this show, because it's like, oh, if you can relate to someone else, even if they don't have the same thing as you, you're like, oh, I get it. Mm-hmm. Like that sucks for you. This sucks for me. I don't know. I think it's just an appreciation of like finding out who I am and just being like, you know what? Life's not that bad. Yeah. We're going to get through this. So.
That's really fucking cool.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
We've heard that perspective before, but it's every time. Every time I hear it, I'm just like, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. It is so amazing to like be so in tune with yourself and to learn about what makes you who you are, and especially in the way that we face challenging situations, and to be like proud of that, to look back at that and go, I feel good about who I am.
Like, I always loved when I was in the hospital, like, cause I was always just like feeling fine in the hospital. Like, even though I was in ICU, I was just still wide awake, but I just had to lay still cause I had all these blood clots and like, don't move. But I just always had the ability to just be like, oh, I'm just going to joke with the nurses, and like, they loved me because it's like, oh, you're an easy patient, even though I was very, very complicated. Mm-hmm. They were just like, oh, you're a breath of fresh air of my day. And you're like
conversationally, you're not a pain in the ass to deal with because you've got the outlook or the perspective that you've got.
Exactly.
Which there's a lot of people who don't, you know?
Yeah.
And it's exhausting.
Which is why it's good. It's great to have somebody who is in your shoes with that perspective, because like you said, when Jer asked the question of what is it taken away from you, you were kind of like, well, what are you going to do? What are you going to do?
Yeah.
And that's a very rational way of thinking about it. And oftentimes when you're sick and life is really challenging, it's easy to be not rational because life has been not that fair to you. And
there's only really been one moment recently, because they had done a MRI on my liver, and the whoever looks at it, radiologist, whatever they're called, I had gotten a copy of the report, and it pretty much said on there, like, this looks like liver cancer. And I was like, you've got to be kidding me. And I was just like, don't we just get like one, like, well, I already have two, but can I just have one? Everyone just gets one disease. Like, that's all you get. And I was like, if I have liver cancer as well. And I was freaking out. And that's the first time that I found myself being like, what am I going to do?
Panic.
Like,
yeah.
This will suck. Like, this means the worst.
Mm-hmm.
It ended up not being it. Like, because Bud Chiari has the same symptoms on an MRI.
Sure.
That liver cancer does. So it ended up being fine. But it's just that how the radiologist saw it, and he's never seen Bud Chiari before. So it's just like, oh, this looks like liver cancer.
It's so funny that you went there, though, with like the, this is going to be the worst. This is going to be the worst. Because there's people who are listening to your experience with Bud Chiari and PNH, and they're going, that is the fucking worst. That is the worst. Like, God, I hope I don't ever have to go through that. You know, like, it's just
could always be worse.
Yeah, absolutely.
But like, even in that situation, like my husband and I, we were just like, okay, well, if it is, we'll
get through it.
We'll get through that. Yeah. We'll just do the next thing that we have to do. Like, you can't worry about it. But that was the first time that I felt like emotionally, like as you kept on talking about, like, oh no, I broke down. Like, I was like, no, I don't need any more.
But also, like, it would have made a better Sick Boy episode. So,
I know.
You know, there's that part, right?
So if you ever do get liver cancer, just hit us up. And we'll meet up
again. I was meeting with my friend yesterday, and like I was telling her this story, because it's quite a long story about the whole liver cancer thing. Because all these things happened that I was like, oh, for sure, they're going to tell me when I go in. And then she's like, please tell me this ends in a positive note. And I was like, I've brought you to this cafe to tell you that. And then she's like, no, like, it's fine. She's like, oh, thank goodness.
You should have been like, well, you're just going to have to wait until you hear my episode.
Yeah.
And then walked away.
the other thing that you said about what this has given you, like when you're talking about people being able to relate, like I think that's a really powerful message, because even for, I know we've talked about normies a couple of times on this podcast, but even for people who haven't been through illness, who have other challenges in their lives, like it's so important to like be able to take that message away and be able to learn how powerful the human mind is and how you can overcome those challenges by just like being in a better mindset. Like, you're not going to cure yourself from a disease by being positive, but I think it certainly allows you to live a more fulfilling life during the time that you're facing those challenges.
I always like tell like my family and my husband and stuff, and it's like, well, I could be negative, but that's not going to help. Why? Sounds like so much work. When I'm on medication, as in like morphine, like in the hospital, I'm not a very nice person, which my husband can tell you. I've yelled definitely, like just at craziness and been like, wah, just go crazy. But other than that, I stay pretty
positivity
positive.
Is certainly easier said than done sometimes too. But
that's true. Absolutely.
Well, I think that there's this is like a, I love these conversations. I love having the the ability to sit down and talk to someone with the mindset that you have. And I feel like it's these kinds of episodes that are like, that really stand out in terms of someone walking away from this feeling something, feeling like they've taken something from it.
Yeah.
And I thank you. Thank you for coming in and sharing.
It's been an honor.
Sweet.
It's really cool.
Yeah.
And thank you all so much for tuning in. We hope you enjoyed it. We'll be back next week with another
awesome episode, probably from Vancouver. And in the meantime, if you want to support us, go on over to Apple Podcasts and leave a rating and a review and hit the subscribe button and tell 100 people in your life that you've done that, and they should too. And if you don't, you're looking at 7 years bad luck.
Yeah.
Taylor?
Well, after the bad luck, you can donate to Patreon if you want. And I just want to clear something up.
Dude, I know what you're going to do right now, I don't think you should do it.
I realized when I said it before, I didn't really think about it too much, but I realized when I said the whole thing about, like, you know, if you donate to Patreon, yeah, then you're kind of like above the line.
Yeah, that's not okay.
I know. I realized that.
Oh, that's
and that's
good.
Not what I meant.
Yeah, okay.
By
good.
That, really.
I'm glad you came to that.
I just meant that there's a place in my heart for a certain group of people.
Hey, man.
If they give us money.
Hey, whoa, dude, no.
I didn't mean...
No.
You're
saying the same thing.
No. It's different. It's not... It's like, instead of the line, there's no line.
You're horrible.
I'm taking away the line. There's no line. It's my heart. You're in my heart.
This is worse than when your parents say I'm disappointed in
you. Or outside of my heart. All I mean is that you could be in or out of my heart. And if you're in, you're probably...
This is fucking awful.
...donating money. And if you're not... Then you're probably
www.patreon.com/sickboy. You're so disappointing to me.
Come
Taylor.
Into my heart.
Get out of
here. Come into my heart.
Sounds like a hierarchy there. You've just established a hierarchy.
No, I was wrong with the hierarchy and the line.
So horrible.
It's the heart. Come into my heart.
Yeah. Well, and speaking of coming in things, we just came inside this recording studio to record this episode at Chorus Entertainment.
I'm glad you cleared that up. My God.
Well, that was why we came inside the recording studio to record here at Chorus Entertainment. Thanks to Larry Gifford, our friend, who does a podcast called "When Life Gives You Parkinson's."
Yeah, if you have not checked that out, thanks, Larry, for letting us come in the recording studio.
Yeah, thank you.
Thank you.
And definitely listen to his podcast. Thanks to Donovan, the CBAT Morgan, for the sound design on this episode. Thanks for making it sound like I'm in a really busy law office right now. You can just hear people typing away reports and analyzing things. I know it's weird. It doesn't really go with the theme of the show, but it's just that's where we are right now. So thanks for making it sound like that. And thanks to Take Part for the theme music. Take Part in this.bandcamp.com if you want to hear some of their tunes.
That is it for this week.
I'm Brian.
I'm Taylor.
I'm Jeremy.
And I'm Tracy.
And this is Sick Boy.
For more CBC podcasts, go to cbc.ca/podcasts.